the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Well, thank you for listening today to the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. Your body. It's you at the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. To reach Dr. Mike on the air on the phone, 877-711-5211, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. iHeartRadio Talk is a great way to get us. You can add Radio MD and you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. This is a news and update station that you can customize. So go to iHeartRadio.com. And you can download the app. You can use it on the web. If you use it on the web, click Talk in the main menu. And then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We welcome two new affiliates to the show weekly, WKAL Radio, 1450 in Rome, New York. Welcome in. And WMTR-FM Radio in Toledo, Ohio. Welcome in. You'll love this show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Hi, Dr. Mike Roizen.
Hello, Joe.
What are we doing at 35 after the hour? Talk about our guest.
Well, this is actually a great book. It is called A Breast Cancer Alphabet. Now, normally I try and read through every book that we get, and I have to fight on some of them to get through them. This one wasn't a fight. This one is a joy. And we're going to talk to, I don't actually know how to pronounce her first name, but her last name is, so I'll call her Mad Sika, because her first name is Madhulika, I think. She comes from an Indian background, but she was the executive producer at NPR News and ABC also. And she developed breast cancer, and she has a different word, and there are a whole bunch of interesting things here that are great tools for anyone who gets any cancer, not just breast cancer. It's a generic book about cancer, and I sound like I'm incredibly enthused. If I do, I should be, because it is a wonderful book. It's a quick read, but with incredibly vital information.
I'll tell you what, let me give the pronunciation of her first name a shot. If I come closest, let's play for lunch. I'll say it's Madhulika Sika. Okay? Madhulika Sika. So if I'm not sure about the second name, but we'll play on the first name, because you mentioned the first name. And whoever comes closest will get lunch on the other one. So she's our guest at 35 minutes after the hour. We should probably, if you are capable of doing it, give us an update on what's going on with the flu around the country as we get into the last couple of weeks of winter here.
Well, you know, the flu epidemic was early this year. If you look, it looks like it peaked in late December, early January, and is now down at a very reasonable and low level. Now, the people in Alabama and in Louisiana and Arkansas probably don't feel that way, because they're at high levels. But every place else in the continental United States and in Hawaii and Alaska are at very low levels. So if you've got the flu, or if you've got the remnants of it, because a lot of people still have remnants of it, because this was H1N1, which seems to last a much longer time, you may still have that, and you may still be feeling ill. But in fact, the onset of the flu has really decreased in the recent weeks to a very low level.
How effective has the vaccine been this season?
It's been very effective at decreasing the severity of the flu, and the problem has been that those people not vaccinated had a really bad time with the flu this year, especially in the 18 to 64 year age group, because H1 and N1 hasn't been around for about 9 years, and so they did not get much protection from having prior flus, etc. So if you didn't get vaccinated, you tended to get a flu at a worse and more severe than most seasons, whereas the people who did get vaccinated got a much more mild case than they would have expected.
In central New York here, late winter, we've had a rough go of it. It wasn't that dominant early in the year, but as we got into the months of late February, mid-February, late February, now March, we've had 9 deaths here in central New York because of the flu over the past couple of weeks. So it's hit central New York relatively hard at this time of year.
And Joe, were those deaths, the new thing about this flu because of the H1N1 was that the people who normally are hardest hit, that is who die from it, are the very young, under 6 years of age, and the very elderly, over 80. But this flu, the people who died with it were in that 18 to 65 age group. Was that true in central New York?
It was kind of a combination. There were some young kids who died, but there were also not many in the middle. It was a combination of the real young kids and the elderly, which I guess is, you know, typical. If you've got deaths, that's pretty typical. Young kids and the older people, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the typical flu pattern.
Top medical story of the week, Dr. Mike. Nutrition facts on nutrition facts labels on food packages. That's the big story this week.
Well, I think there are two and they're related, but this one is a huge one because they put on the label what's in a serving for you. That is, they specify what's in a serving for you in terms of both saturated and unsaturated fats and trans fats, but also in added sugars. And if I was going to say the most important change was the addition of that added sugars component and the addition of what calories are in the total package. So people look at the package and they have a serving size. The serving size has been arbitrarily decided by the manufacturer. And if you look at it, you know, who eats just 10 chips, right? So they say 10 chips is 140 calories, and in the package are 1,400 calories, and the average guy sits down in front of his TV to watch a basketball or football game and eats the whole package, not one serving. So they have both of those will be on the label, as well as the added sugars. Now, added sugars is an important point. We're even going to bring that up with our breast cancer writer, if you will. I can't pronounce her name. So she wrote the book, A Breast Cancer Alphabet is what the book is called, and it's a tremendous book. But one of the things she doesn't talk about allude to it, is that she was told she could eat anything. That's obviously not correct if you have cancer, because added sugars stimulate cancer cell growth. And in fact, one of her favorite things was a special form of ice cream. We're going to talk about that. But the putting the added sugars on the label is such an important thing, because that's what raises your blood sugar. That's what causes cancer and inflammation and heart disease in your body.
Some of the information also on the label is bigger. Some of the numbers are bigger. Maybe the more important information has larger numbers so people can see it better.
Bridget, do you want to talk about the calorie numbers are bigger? So we'll come back to that. But
we'll do that after the break.
A difference in size, right?
Yeah, we'll do that after the break. We're coming up on a break. We'll talk more about that coming up in a minute and address some of the other top medical news stories of the week. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royson on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com, UDocs@gmail.com, UDocs@gmail.com. Got a phone? You can talk to Dr. Mike, 877-711-5211. Our guest at 35 minutes after the hour is an NPR News executive editor. She has an interesting story. She was working with her team on an interview with President Obama, and she got the word about her breast cancer diagnosis. And good thing she's cancer-free now, and she'll talk about how her ordeal affected her and how we can learn from that. That'll be 35 minutes after the hour in this hour. Back to the story we talked about before the break, and I guess, Dr. Mike, you want, or Bridget wanted to add more to the story about the FDA is proposing updates to nutrition facts labels on food packages. What else can you add to that story?
Well, I was just going to say that the line of added sugar, I completely agree with Dr. Royson that it's probably one of the most important parts that was proposed for the new label. I think it's interesting, though, that a lot of the food manufacturers are pushing back at the FDA, saying that there's no difference in the way that the body absorbs sugar, whether it's from fruit or from added sugar, and that sugar is sugar. So I've read a few articles that are that claim that the food industry is trying to make these claims that doctors don't really see the big difference between the two, and we know that that obviously is the furthest thing from the truth. And so I think that it's a very positive change. The other change that I think is amazing is the larger calories, because I think that it will be harder for people to ignore the number of calories. It'll be bold and in bigger fonts. And I think that another great change is swapping out the vitamin C and vitamin A content and adding, replacing it with the vitamin D and the potassium, because we know that vitamin D and potassium are two of the four shortfall nutrients in the American diet. So there are two nutrients that Americans as a whole fail to obtain adequacy from their diet. And so I think that highlighting those two, the vitamin D and potassium, will also be positive changes.
Are people going to read these labels? What is going to get people to read these labels? Will vitamin C and potassium information on a label get people to read them? What's going to get people to read these labels if these changes are for the positive?
You know, I think, go ahead. I was going to say, what will get people to read it will, in fact, be the added sugar column, which is a really important column. I realize the food manufacturers are fighting back, but I think it is a really important column. The second one is the correct serving size. So if you look at the old serving size of ice cream was half a cup. No one eats a half a cup. So they made it to a cup. So the calorie listing on the label really shows a accurate calorie listing. I actually disagree with the, I think the putting iron on the label doesn't make much difference, but I do think the calorie label, and I don't think people will choose food based on vitamin D. Most of the vitamin D in food is fortified. You might as well get it from a supplement as get it from fortified food. It's the same thing. So I actually think that the really important changes are the getting the serving size correct, telling people what's in the full container as well as in a serving, and the other one is the added sugars.
Okay, yeah, so in order of importance then... I was going to say, in order of importance, Dr. Mike, what are the three or four things people should look for in a label? And then, Bridget, you can add on.
Well, when you go to the label, I think the thing immediately to look for is the ingredients. And if any of the first five are a saturated fat, a trans fat, and they may get banned in the United States, or an added sugar, then you should eliminate it. And the second thing is when you look at a serving size, and if it's the right serving size for you, if you have more than 4 grams of saturated fat or more than 4 grams of added sugar, you should avoid it. So I think the added sugar and the saturated fat lines are the ones that are probably most important from a health standpoint. And then people will want to read calories, to make sure they are able to get the appropriate and not too many calories in a day.
Okay, now, Bridget, you wanted to say what?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think that I think that adding potassium to the Nutrition Facts label is a very important change, especially for people with hypertension, because I think that when people have high blood pressure, they start paying more attention to the nutrition labels because they're looking specifically at sodium, because that's usually one of the first recommendations that doctors make. And we know from the research that having a diet high in potassium can blunt the effects of a high sodium diet. So I think that with increased education, that's really the most important thing in order to get the people to actually read it. So hopefully the FDA will also focus on putting more money into educating individuals, especially the lower income populations and Hispanic groups that are at a higher risk of a lot of chronic diseases. But I agree with Dr. Rosen that the added sugar line and the serving size that changes and then adding the per serving and per package are probably the three biggest.
Okay, we have the break coming up in a minute. Before we do that, obesity rates, Dr. Mike, for young kids is down almost 45% in 10 years. How about that?
Yeah, this is dramatic if it works through. What we've seen in society are four things recently. Those four things are, if you will, CVS stopped selling cigarettes. Americans are eating less calories in general, 118 less per day over the last 5 years per day per person in the United States, which is the first time since 1984 we've actually even stabilized calories, but we're going down. Third, we're eating less saturated fat and red meat, more than 6% less red meat per person, more than 7% fewer, less saturated fat. And the fourth one is this one, which is either the end result or a future. Instead of having 14% of our 2 to 5 year olds being obese, we have 8%, a 43% decrease. If this holds, it says that, and if you get the tail through on smoking, et cetera, we will actually have a much stronger economy in the United States, because instead of medical costs being a headwind that the economy had to fight against, it will now be a tailwind. So we will end up with much greater job competitiveness and much more success in the United States for jobs. And in fact, we may end up with a shortage of employees by the year 2020. So we may, if this really carries through, this is a huge economic as well as social change in America, that Americans are wanting to get healthy, will get healthy, and we will have much more prosperity than we planned on.
Udocs at gmail.com, Youdocs at gmail.com. On the phone, 877-711-5211. Our guest is coming up after the break. She is an NPR News Executive Editor and a veteran broadcast journalist, and she's a breast cancer survivor, and she is cancer-free, and her new book is called A Breast Cancer Alphabet, and it's for anybody who's been diagnosed with breast cancer and basically needs a companion. It's a very inspiring story, and I think you want to stay with us for that. And it's coming up right after the break on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Our guest is Madalika Sika, an executive editor of NPR News. She was working with her team on an interview with President Obama, and then she received her breast cancer diagnosis about 4 years ago. Today she's cancer-free, which is fantastic. And a new book is called A Breast Cancer Alphabet. And she's here to talk to us for anybody who's been diagnosed with breast cancer and needs a companion. The publisher is Crown. Thank you so much for coming on. I'd like to know if when you were diagnosed with your breast cancer diagnosis a couple of years ago, where's the first place you went to for information about your diagnosis?
I have to say it was my doctor's because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and my husband had been diagnosed with cancer 10 years before me, so we had had some experience of hearing a diagnosis like that. So first my doctors, and then other people who had gone through it. And unfortunately, it is a sad fact of breast cancer that I happen to know, you know, several women that I could get in touch with who had gone through it.
Were you overwhelmed by, I mean, were you confused about where to go to, who to listen to, who to talk to, what to read?
Yeah, I think the thing is there's a lot of information out there, and some of it is
quite good. You know, the National Cancer Institute, American Cancer Society, among them, you know, have really good general information. But you find out pretty fast that what you need to deal with is your own specific ailment. And, you know, the best information you can get on that is through your own medical professionals.
Dr. Mike.
This is a wonderful book.
Thank you.
I should say it's a breast cancer alphabet. I try and read the full book of every book we have on the show. Joe will tell you I don't succeed on all of them, such as some of those on prostate cancer have been so big that they're better at weightlifting than anything else. But this is a tremendous book because it really was easy to read. And I think provides a heck of a lot of useful information, not just for breast cancer, but for any cancer. I particularly liked, and I'll go through some of them, and then I want to go through and challenge you on a couple.
Okay.
And by the way, for anyone who wants to find out more, it's a breastcanceralphabet.com is the website. She also has a Tumblr, so you can put in more of your stories and more of the letters and different letters for the same alphabet to get the full dictionary, if you will, as she says, breastcanceralphabettumblr.com. So the one of them was you had stuff on kindness. K is for kindnesses. And what I thought was really wonderful is the advice you gave there, and rather than my saying the advice you gave there, let me ask you to say, how did this come about, and how did you develop this word?
Well, I think for me it came about because, you know, when you tell your friends and colleagues and family that you have been diagnosed, obviously they're very concerned, and the first thing they ask you is, what can I do to help? And that is a sincere question from most of them. And I think you should think about it not too long, not too hard. Figure out what you need help with and ask them to help you because you're going to need it. And it is much more useful for you to have the help that you need, and your friends and family will feel much better if they are doing something valuable for you rather than plying you with pink fluffy teddy bears or other useless things that you don't really need when you're going through treatment.
So we should bring up Sarah. I don't know Sarah's last name,
but
Sarah was one of the people who you told what you wanted, the dietary restrictions or preferences, even put a cooler outside your house. So if you didn't feel like opening the door or answering the door when people brought food over, but as I got it for about I don't know how long it was, but for the period of
about 5 months,
Sarah organized meals so that you literally didn't have to cook for 5 months.
Right. And, she found a calendar that everyone could sign up for and sent it to a very wide range of people, and everyone signed up and said what they were bringing and what time they'd drop by, and it was a lifesaver.
And when you look at Share the Care, which is another book that I've read in this area, one of the things that is most important, and now we can do in the internet age, is have a calendar like that where you put what you want. But it also, as you implied, it also makes the people around you feel better, as well as takes a huge burden off of you.
Absolutely. I mean, they can genuinely feel that they are helping in a really positive way. And I think that most people did feel that, and we were very blessed to have such a wide group around us who could do that for us.
And so I think that exemplifies a lot of the things that are generalizable to, at least from what I've heard, are generalizable to cancer patients. And as you said in the book, I don't know where you said it, but one of the things is most of the doctors have not, and no one can really experience what you're going through unless they've experienced cancer and chemotherapy and reconstruction, because there is no, the empathy isn't quite the same.
Absolutely.
So I think you make that point as well. The other, And I'm going to get to a number of topics, but one of them I thought was, and Joe brought this up a little bit when he talked about the information, is there's so much anxiety. could you have done better without the anxiety, and how do you, and you didn't talk about dealing with the anxiety, but obviously you must have.
Well, I think the challenge is you have to sort of calibrate it. Sometimes it's really at the forefront and dominates everything, and other days it's just somewhere in the back of your mind, and, you know, it goes with the cycle of what you're going through. So while you're waiting to hear the results of a biopsy, for example, you're really anxious, and it's really important to figure out how you're going to deal with that. So, you know, when I was waiting for test results after my biopsy, you know, when we knew that then we found a second tumor and there was a lot of work that needed to be done to figure out what I needed to do, it was that period in the holidays between Christmas and New Year, and things are a little slow, and these tests take time, so you need some therapy. And for me, it was, you know, watching back-to-back Downton Abbey or other TV shows to keep my mind off what was going on. And, you know, sometimes you may need the help of a doctor to help you get through it, and there is no shame in that. But I think you have to calibrate what is right for you. And it is going to be different. It's not going to be the same level of anxiety all the way through.
And but you didn't talk, and maybe you didn't use this very much, about meditation. You did talk about exercise or walking through problems, and just essentially walking as a therapy to work through something.
Well, you know, during my chemotherapy, my chemo nurse and doctor advised me to try and move every day, just a little bit even, to sort of keep everything moving. And, you know, you get extremely exhausted during chemotherapy and you feel like a rag doll, like one foot isn't going to go in front of the other. It was important to try and get out and walk as much as I could in the really bad phases. And, you know, I know people who have used meditation, you know, that I didn't, but I didn't feel that I needed to seek that out. I was certainly prepared to look for that, or acupuncture, which another friend had used that she found very helpful, but I felt I was managing well with the things I was doing. I've
now
used acupuncture before.
Now, the other things that I'm going to get into in the second half are a little bit about nutrition and, if you will, things you didn't talk about, aspirin and prevention of cancers as much as, but you talked a lot about things that helped you, and one of the major things was taking both a vacation and getting your Z's. So Z, I found Z's a fun thing, but also the impressive thing was the aiming for vacation.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank,
I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Madalika Sika is the author of Breast Cancer Alphabet, published by Crown. And here again, Dr. Mike Roizen.
So where we were was in the need for a vacation. Tell us how you and this goes with the Q also, which is quit. So take care of both V and Q for us.
Sure. I mean, a vacation, it doesn't have to be an exotic vacation. I think it's really important to have a goal to get away for a while, and it may be just for an afternoon, or you know, it may be for longer. But you're in cancer land, and sometimes it's nice to have a target to know that you can get out for a while. So a vacation, you know, actually the first trip I took was to friends up in Massachusetts who had a house. I just went for a long weekend, and it was the first time I had gone beyond the 3-mile radius of my house for about 7 months. And it was really important for my mental health just as much as my physical health. Because, you know, there are days when you do want to quit. There are days when you don't want to take your walk, or there are days where you don't want to face anybody, and those are perfectly acceptable as well, and it's nice to have some kind of goal to get you through the darker days.
So this is the book we're talking about, is A Breast Cancer Alphabet with Madalika Sika, S-I-K-K-A. It's a breast cancer alphabet.com, or if you want to add words to it, a breast cancer alphabet tumblr.com. And this is, I think it's a wonderful, it's a fast read, it's a wonderful read for all the things. Now, the thing I was most surprised about was no conversation about healthy nutrition. So we know that added sugar causes a cancer, especially breast and prostate cancers, to spread and become more malignant. And we know that saturated fat actually accelerates that. Yet one of the things you seem to enjoy most was something with both, that is ice cream and a specific flavor of ice cream. So
it wasn't like I was in a college dorm eating tubs of ice cream every day. You know, occasionally I felt the need for ice cream. There were lots of foods I didn't eat just because, you know, chemotherapy just messes up your taste buds in a very profound way. And often it was just not pleasant to eat much of anything at all. There were many foods that I just couldn't touch. And every now and then if I found something...
So your favorite...
Go ahead.
You alluded to one of your favorites had been garlic broccoli, and I guess you couldn't touch that.
Well, I couldn't stand the smell, you know, of it cooking, and thus I couldn't deal with it. And, you know, the effect on your taste bud is also an effect on how you smell as well, how food smell, and the whole combination was a challenge.
Now, we've also known recently that aspirin is one of the great things at decreasing both the malignancy of a number of cancers and even the incidence, but the malignancy of it. And you didn't talk about some of the common things that your doctors might have talked to you about. And the question is, did they talk to you about it? One of the things is, how much of this type of information should we be expecting from our physicians, and how much just from our friends and reading books like yours?
Well, I think that, you know, I didn't talk about specific remedies because I'm not a doctor and it's not a medical book. I think the thing that's most important is for you to have that conversation with your doctors to find out what is right for you. And again, I think that as patients, often we feel unempowered to do that, and we have a right to ask questions of the doctors, and it's the doctor's obligation to talk you through everything that is pertinent to your disease. So, you know, I very intentionally did not write a book that was trying to give medical prescriptions for breast cancer because, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm a journalist.
And one of the interesting things in your journalistic, if you will, what I would call your native journalism is you use notebooks commonly when you did meet with the physicians, and you had others write in the notebooks, I guess your husband mainly, when you felt you couldn't concentrate on that.
Yeah, I think it's really important to keep notes when you're having these conversations, so you have a record of what was said to you, because you might forget what was said to you. It also helps you prepare for questions that you want to bring to the doctor, and I think it is absolutely vital to have someone in the room with you who can listen for you. And in this case, you know, I was fortunate that my college professor husband was the person I had with me in the room. I think it's vital to take notes, and in fact, you'll notice at the back of the book that we have blank pages for people to keep their own notes as they're going through.
I wondered why those blank pages. Are those notes for people who are going through a cancer, or notes on the book?
Whatever they want it to be. I think the book, we designed the book to be small, portable, slip it in your purse. We also kept the chapter short so you could dip in and out of it. I really hope that it is a useful guide and companion for people as they go through it.
Yeah, I thought it was, and I should reiterate this again, it is what I would call just fantastic, because it gives so many what I would call very useful things and very useful concepts for people with any cancer. It's not just for breast cancer.
Well, thank you.
I think
there's a universality.
I was gonna say, guys who get prostate cancer, this would be useful for too. now you've got to tell me. I was intrigued. You went to Istanbul. Did you like it? And what did you find there?
I did like it. I love cities, and it's one of the world's great cities. There's fabulous food, wonderful architecture, and it was quite a blissful experience. I think the thing that was a challenge as someone who's used to traveling was, you know, I knew I had to take breaks and take rest in the afternoon and later in the evening. So it was a different way of traveling for me, but it's a very enchanting place. And talk about taking you out of cancer land.
Well, it's way far away, too. Did you worry about would you need the emergency room, or were you totally stable when you decided to take this
vacation? I was in good shape. We waited a long time before I traveled, and, you know, we waited, cleared with my doctors, being away for some time, you know, and we waited till well after my chemotherapy was over. And, you know, my preference during the height of my treatment was to be very, very close. I did not leave town. As I say, I did not go beyond much of a 3-mile radius of my house.
Joe?
For months.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA. TakeOmega.com.